Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you have a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. That's consumerguide.com. Our all-new bright and shiny 2026 Best Buys are now listed there at the homepage. They're up. They've been edited.
Edited? Okay. Did you delete somebody or add somebody in? What do you mean by edited?
No. I published something.
Oh, okay.
And I don't promote it until I read it again a day later.
Got it.
That's my cycle.
So now it's readable?
I told you about my very, very nice email from someone at Mopar, someone at Stellantis.
Yeah.
I wrote about the Ram 1500.
Uh-huh.
And with the Hemi again.
Mm-hmm.
The Hemi again model. I got a very nice email. Like, it was all very friendly. And like, oh, by the way, doofus. But I had confused, I think I mentioned this before, I confused two models.
Yeah.
So, anyway. It's good to know people are reading it.
Yeah.
That voice is Jill Simonillo. She is contributing editor here at ConsumerGuide.com, prolific freelancer and North American Car of the Year juror.
Juror.
When do we find out about the Car of the Year picks?
January 14th.
January 14th. So that's coming up pretty quick.
It is.
This year wrapped up fast.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, our actual voting begins, I think, in what, like, next week or the week after, and so everybody is like, I'm driving the Dodge Charger 6-pack right now because I haven't had the chance to drive this specific variant, and so like all of the jurors are trying to cram in the last minute test drives of the finalists.
There are folks out there who find the use of the term 6-pack heretical.
Okay.
Largely because 6-pack was 6 carbs once upon a time.
Okay.
It was 3 sets of 2 barrels. I think they were Webers, but it was a big deal. It was a big under hood. It looked great.
Okay.
Yeah. But now it's 6 cylinder.
Yes.
Yep. And that's the Hurricane. And is that, they're just doing the one Hurricane now, right? It's 550 horsepower.
I believe that is correct.
The high output. Yep. And the other version doesn't exist at all.
Correct.
A lot of things going away.
Yeah. Well, you know,
yeah.
Being like trim and slim, you know, trimming up the lineup and all that.
We sell fewer cars now, right?
We do.
It's down from about 18 million to about 16 million.
Yep.
16 million is now the new normal. So we need a few fewer vehicles.
Yeah. And I mean, people are holding on to their cars longer.
Yes.
People are buying used because the price of cars is so expensive. And we need fewer cars.
We need a few fewer cars. I have to get some thank yous out here real quick. TJ Campbell.
Yes.
Without letting me know, sent me my own version of the Michelin tire sample. The thing you were bragging about.
The thing that I was bragging about, that I have tire samples in my freezer. Did you put them in your freezer?
No, but I don't need to because it's so darn cold outside.
Oh, so you're leaving them outside.
I could just put it outside at this
point. No. You've got to leave it someplace cold so that you have the full effect. You pull it out and you've got the floppy and stiff.
So.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Floppy and stiff was a radio team back in the 70s.
Okay.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Tawa. The folks at Tawa sent me my own trophy. I think you were behind that. But so that's very nice. I've got my own.
You have your very own trophy to put on your desk.
And speaking
with
of
your
trophies, FeedSpot has again named us to their top 10 best automotive podcasts.
Woo!
So that's nice. I want to share this link, but they haven't, the image that it grabs right now isn't correct. So I have to wait for them to
make it better.
Make it better. That's exactly right. VinFast. You've heard of VinFast.
Kind of.
You may not need to hear about them for much longer.
I know, right?
I've been collecting stray news about VinFast now for 2 weeks, and we never get around to it.
Right.
We've been busy.
We have been. We've had a lot
to
talk about.
But VinFast is on its last legs. They sold 1,400 cars so far this year, down 40% from the year before. And there are reports of dealerships' websites coming down.
Yeah.
They were building a factory. Oh, I was going to look up. I forgot where they were going to build a factory. But this isn't going to surprise you.
Mm.
Construction of the factory has halted.
Yeah. Well, they had a dedicated PR person for us, and he was let go.
And I think he left.
Well, one or the other. He either left or got let go. But you know, we have somebody who listens to us regularly who sends me messages about VinFast often, who has been asking me to get into a test car, and I'm like, I don't think that's gonna happen, like ever. Like I tried, but I don't think it's gonna
happen.
You
know how we march through weird eras in time, and we've been doing this for 6 years, and it's weird to think about. I was looking back at earlier episodes today for something, and we had perhaps. We had talked about and reviewed a Wrangler diesel, which seems like 100 years ago that there were diesels in American consumer products. But one of the things looking back we talked about
I mean, full-size trucks and heavy-duty trucks have diesels.
They do, but there's no passenger cars in the U.S. that are diesel.
No, I feel like that was 2019 maybe they came out with the diesel. It was pre-pandemic.
But our guest who we haven't introduced yet is nodding yes.
Yes. So I will take that as validation.
Sure, sure. But the thing that I was looking back on that I thought was so odd was VinFast, for being sort of a Johnny-come-lately company, was all about battery leasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that is never going to happen in the U.S.
No, well, then they backed off of that.
Yeah, wisely.
Quickly.
For people who don't know, there was a period of time when people were thinking about EVs, and their primary complaint was, what if something happens to the battery?
It's going to be like $50,000 to replace just the battery.
Yep, I'm going to have to sell my home to replace the battery on my car. So some people theorized that if the battery was a separate purchase that was separately, you know,
like leased
warrantied,
instead of purchase.
Yeah, that, and if it was under lease, it would be covered too under warranty, and they would just replace it, and that would be a good idea. But the prices were absurd.
They
were talking about leasing the car for $700 or $800, and then leasing the battery for a separate $150 a month. It's like, no,
for something that we don't know,
not going to happen.
No.
So, anyway, VinFast seems to be on the way out. If you see one, that's great. There is a VinFast dealer in Lyle? Yeah, there's one around here. So, if you want to go look at it,
you know,
take a picture of it.
I've seen, like, mall storefronts, but I've never seen a dealership.
Yeah, there is a standalone dealership in the Chicagoland area, and they have some inventory, too. They have a couple of dozen vehicles. So if you want a VinFast for some reason, if you want to buy an EV from a company that won't be here next year.
Ever the optimist. So my question would be.
Or just pick up a used Fisker.
Yeah, I was going to say, similar to the Fisker Ocean, like, what is the software support for that, like, if VinFast leaves?
It's probably bad. You know that the Fisker thing is interesting. It became a community, and it's now open source, and there are people working to keep this stuff running.
Yeah.
So as absurd as it seemed 6 months ago to buy a Fisker, it's less absurd now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I love to see stuff like that. And speaking of companies going belly up, Bollinger threw in the towel. And I don't know if people remember Bollinger, but a little bit like INEOS, they wanted to do these original Land Rover Defender tribute-looking vehicles, but they were going to be electric.
Yeah.
And try as they might, they couldn't make the consumer side of that work, so they started to build Class 3, Class 4 heavy-duty stuff, and that didn't work for them either, so they're gone now. They seem like a cool company. The design was really cool, and it's just a shame.
Yep.
But that's gone.
I was literally just talking about them the other day and didn't realize that they had thrown in the towel, but was talking about them for a completely different reason.
You have some news to get to, but I want to talk about something really quick that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
So I was in the Jeep Wrangler Sahara.
Yes.
Last week. Sahara's a trim level. Mostly it's a nice equipment trim level. It's not an off-roady trim level. But as far as Wranglers go, nice vehicle. Came to about 60 grand, which is about where you think that's going to be. And it was juice orange.
Kind of like my Gladiator, which was also a very, very happy orange color.
So I've had two orange vehicles in 4 weeks.
Right.
And people love them.
Yeah.
Also, I picked up Nick DiGilio at the train station, and I said, I'll be in the orange Jeep.
And so you can't miss it.
No, that worked out pretty well.
You really can't miss it.
But the thing about the Wrangler that's so interesting to me, I have not driven this vehicle in this product before. Mostly the Wranglers and Gladiators are powered by the Pentastar 3.6 liter V6, which is a good place for that, right? Mm-hmm. Those are a good home for this engine that has some torque, and it's a good size, and fuel economy is decent. But they also make available, at no cost, a 2-liter turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers here are really interesting. So if you go from the 6 to the turbo, you actually lose 15 horsepower. You go from 285 to 270, but you pick up 35 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
And the engine peaks lower, 3,000 RPM instead of 4,800 RPM.
Okay.
So it is a sportier engine. but it feels great around town. It makes some noise. It burbles. It's quicker off the line. And I think that this engine would be too crude for a lot of applications, but mm-hmm. it's a Wrangler.
Right, right. Well, did you look up fuel economy to see if there was any fuel economy differences?
There's a small fuel economy. I think it's one combined. Okay. Yeah, I forgot to write that down. Great question. But there is a small fuel economy benefit. So my question is, because I haven't done it, and if someone wants to text us if they've done it or just get a hold of us, how is this engine off-road?
Right.
Because it might be a little difficult to modulate a small four-cylinder that's a little revvy at low speed.
Well, I mean, I couldn't say definitively whether or not I've taken it off-road, but I probably have. And I would say if you're going to drive something like that off-road, you put it in manual mode and control the gear shifts to control that.
After the break, we're going to talk to Jim O'Brill, the director of marketing for the Chicago Auto Show. Remind me that I have a question for Jim.
Okay.
About the San Francisco Auto Show.
Okay.
Because every year I put together a schedule of auto shows.
And SF,
yeah.
Auto Show.
SF,
got it written down.
Not happening.
Okay.
So I just don't know. It seems like a big market, like they should have an auto show.
Okay.
All right. I have a real quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
I drove the Wagoneer S last week.
Okay.
In Hydro Blue.
Okay.
Great looking car.
Okay.
Question is, why the hate?
That is a very good question. I have it coming again, uh-huh. And I think in a couple of weeks. But the only time I've driven this vehicle is at the launch. And when I started posting videos about it, holy snikey.
Yes. I usually, when I start doing the photography for a review,
yeah.
I usually post some pictures from uh-huh. it on Facebook and on X and on Blue Sky. And Hate. And I'm sort of surprised. It's a very good-looking vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice size. Mm-hmm. It is too small for me, and this is interesting. My single complaint with two complaints. I have a complaint and a half. Complaint and a half.
Okay.
It's cramped for me, even though it is externally, it's about the size of a Grand Cherokee.
Mm.
So it feels like it should be roomier. And the other is it rides too firm. And that's the thing they can dial back on if they choose to. But I was sort of surprised by that. But very sporty.
Did you toggle through any of the drive mode settings to
see
if that made a difference?
That much.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, I hate toggling.
You hate toggling? I hate toggling.
I hate drive modes.
Yeah.
I want an engineer to tell me how a car should feel.
Okay. But, I mean, if you're, you know.
No, for off-road or deep snow or something like that, I appreciate that you get to that software faster.
Okay.
But other stuff, I just want the car
dealer's
to be the
choice.
Car. Yeah, like I don't know, 15 years ago at Consumer Guide, we got a Mercedes-Benz S-Class.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a base S-Class. It was a 420 or 430, I think it was called a 430 at the time.
Okay.
But the base V8, no AMG wheels and tires, and it was a surprisingly inexpensive S-Class, and it was the finest riding vehicle I'd ever been in.
Okay.
Bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And I want engineers to do that for me all the time.
Okay.
And I don't want to be able to choose something where I muck up what an engineer's vision was.
Got it.
There you go. Anyway. All right. You have news about the Kia Seltos.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about this a little bit because this is entering a new, completely new generation for 2027. It has, completely new design. It has some new powertrain options coming. It has some really great technology. And it's bigger. You know, I think they've done a really good job of...
Speaking of pricing.
Okay.
The Seltos is going to be more expensive.
Well,
I'm just saying this really dovetails nicely with the conversation we were having earlier. This is a bigger vehicle and more stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know if they've officially announced pricing yet. They usually do that closer to when the vehicle comes out.
I saw a base price estimate.
Okay.
Of $27,000. But
that's going to be the estimate. And usually when people are estimating what it is, they look at the current base price and then they add a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Still under $30,000. I think that'll be a really good price. But I like all of the tech features that are available because I think this is going to be appealing to a younger crowd. You're going to be looking at somebody who wants, you know, the Apple CarPlay, the blind view monitor, that wants a digital key, you know, the ability to use their phone as a key. And I really appreciate that both Kia and Hyundai have started making these technologies that were typically on their, like, top-tier calligraphy, you know, X-line trims available, in bigger vehicles or upper echelon vehicles bringing it down to more of the base models. And so, okay, your $27,000 vehicle isn't going to have blind view monitor, but it will have, you know, wireless Apple CarPlay. It will probably have the dual 12.3-inch screens. And, I appreciate the fact that you have all of this capability and you can add as much of the technology as you want or don't want. And I would anticipate, and I can't remember if it actually specifically said it, but I'm 99.9999% certain this will have wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto.
The interesting thing about it, I think, is that it has been leafed. As we know, the Nissan Leaf recently went through a complete redesign. And
I'm giving you a quizzical look. What do you mean leafed?
It now looks like a crossover. It now fully looks like an SUV crossover.
Okay. So it doesn't look like the Nissan Leaf, but it has gotten the...
Now, the Seltos always looked a little bit like a crossover.
Yeah.
I think it had a very purposeful, sporty look, and it was cool. And it was very popular, so it was obviously hitting the market it needed to. But now it looks kind of bolt upright. It's higher. It sits more on its haunches. It looks like a kind of tough SUV. It's going to sell well. That is a great look.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has more of a completely blanking on the name. The bigger SUV, not the Palisade
from Kia.
Yes.
Not Sportage.
No, bigger. Telluride. I'm like, it starts with a T.
We missed one.
Yeah, but I think it looks a lot more like the Telluride with the upright stance. I think the lighting signatures are very distinct and pronounced. And I don't know.
I'm hoping the wheels that they show on this concept are the wheels we get too, because those are kind of cool and Transformers-y.
Yeah, and I think we probably will get those. And I don't know. I'm very curious to see. There's supposed to be a hybrid powertrain coming. They haven't given the definitive it's coming at this time, but I think it'll be before the end of 2026.
We'll see. This is supposed to be a 2027 model year.
We think
they're being
so.
A little vague about when in 2026 it arrives.
Yeah, and they haven't, looking at the press release, they haven't specifically said 2027, but I think we can all assume.
So the other thing, too, is I don't think we'll see the hybrid in the first model year.
Mm.
It'll probably be coming.
I could see it coming out, at the end of 2026.
So here's the interesting thing about this. I had mentioned weeks ago, months ago.
Definitely
months. when my daughter and I were looking at cars for her to test drive, and we went out to drive the Hyundai Kona, and there were no Hyundai Konas.
Right.
So I was looking around just to see what was going on at Hyundai for 2026. They still don't have prices. So they're not in a huge hurry to bring in these lower-end vehicles. So when we talk about the average price of a new car, it's affected by availability. And if there aren't low-price Hyundais available, well, that's going to drive up costs too.
Right. I feel like I was listening to, could have been the Daily Shift from Auto News, where they were saying there's like a 3-month supply of pickup trucks on the lots and very big availability, and those are your most expensive vehicles.
Yeah, here's the thing about that. I don't know why this always gets lost in the shuffle, especially at Ford and especially at Chevy too. You've got so many trim levels, so many bed lengths, cabs, engines, that you usually maintain a huge day supply. And that is a cost burden on a dealer. But on the other hand, being able to keep a buyer there to buy that car that day is worth it.
Yeah.
Because there's this old adage, man, like 1/3 of people who leave your dealership come back. If you let them leave, they're going to find a better deal elsewhere.
Yeah.
Or just going to run out of energy. It happens. I had, when I sold cars, people would end up in a chair in front of me and they were just done. And I was like, oh, if I get close to the last price they saw, I have a sale.
Right.
Because they're tired of this.
Right.
So you don't let them go. And if you're not going to let them go, you have to have inventory.
Right.
Which is why, and I don't know if it's still like this, but Bob Roorman, Honda in Schaumburg.
Bob Roorman.
May he rest in peace. That guy's got 1 trillion cars on his lot.
And that's an exact figure?
Yeah, I think that's the exact figure. But the interesting thing about Hondas is there aren't that many variations of them either.
Mm.
Honda doesn't do packages. You know, they don't do options. So really what you're looking at is trim level and color. So it's easier for them to inventory.
Right.
So I think Honda dealers have it just a little bit easier. Unless people are looking for really specific stuff. But so anyway, the Kona looks cool. We don't know much about what it's... I'm sorry, the Seltos.
Yes.
We have no idea what the Kona looks like because it's a mystery car.
It is a mystery car.
I wish we had test driven that, actually, my daughter and I. But
the Kona?
Yeah, but we drove the Seltos, the old Seltos, and a very nice car. So, new one. Looks more SUV.
Yeah.
Probably bigger.
Definitely going to have more up-level amenities, finishing touches. I mean, it's obviously under $30,000, so there's going to be some plastic in there. But I expect it to look really nice and to, you know, be a very nice driving vehicle for the price point.
Sounds good. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Jim O'Brill, Director of Marketing for the Chicago Auto Show.
All right.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill, and it's Donut.
I know. You got distracted by the donuts.
I did. Yeah, it's donut unpackaging
time.
He
almost missed his cue again.
Again. Okay, I'm going to get this picture now live on air.
Okay, get the picture.
Of you with the donuts.
Are you sure you want the picture of me? Maybe you want Jim.
We could, but we haven't introduced Jim yet. Although we did do that last week with Nick DiGilio. That's actually our official picture of Nick. All right, we'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do that. Speaking of Jim, in studio with us live, we appreciate the effort, Jim O'Brill, Director of Marketing for the Chicago Auto Show. Jim, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me in studio.
It is December, which is weird, but it's even weirder that the Chicago Auto Show is like weeks away.
It's scary to think weeks away.
Now, so you guys have probably had your first meeting now, drafted a few memos.
We've had a few, yeah. You know,
have a vague idea of how it's coming together.
It's actually 53 days away.
Okay.
We did this thing. We introduced a new website. Okay. We launched an all new website and we put a countdown on there.
I saw that.
Makes it exciting.
If for nothing else, to give us all a lot of anxiety.
I was gonna
say every
anxiety.
Day we open the website and it's like, oh, why did we put this on there?
I guess the most important question about the Chicago Auto Show is the fudge back?
You know what? The fudge, not the fudge that the Ryba's fudge that you remember.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the team from Ryba's, when COVID hit, you know, they weren't able to stay in Chicago. They're based up in Michigan.
Yeah.
So they've not made their way back here since. So we've got another fudge company that's been there. So
okay.
It's not the same fudge, but there's fudge.
There is fudge.
There is fudge.
Is it good fudge?
It is good fudge.
Okay. I've never felt better about spending too much for something than Ryba's fudge.
Okay.
And then there was a company that did the pralines, too. That was good stuff. Are those still there?
You know what? I don't know which one you might be referencing.
That might be a really old memory.
Yeah. I don't remember the pralines, but there's always different carts and vendors that McCormick Place surprises us with.
All right. I think we may have dove in from the wrong side of the pool here. But the Chicago Auto Show is coming. It's a big deal. It's February, I have the date, 7th through
16th.
Through 16th, which includes Valentine's Day again.
Mm. Always does.
Best date. If you're a guy, if you can pull it off, like you do the nice dinner first, and like, let's go check out some cars. That's a good day.
There's a lot of people that come. We've had our share of proposals on the show floor. There's been date nights at the auto show. It's a real thing.
Well, don't you have like several like specialty days and nights? And I remember in the past you've done like the beer flight night or beer night or beer tasting or something like that.
And
which
that still happens. That's our Friday night flights and the second Friday of the show.
Yes, good date night.
It's a great date night.
Yes.
Now, you guys haven't done beer fight night.
Not fight night, but the flight night.
Okay, yeah.
Flight. I mean, you get almost, last year we had 20 different breweries out there. You could buy a tasting cup and have at it.
So let's talk about the auto show a little. Auto shows changed sort of starting with COVID. And then sort of wrapped around COVID was sort of a generational change and people started buying cars online and things sort of changed. And one of the scariest things that has happened, in my opinion, is that there are young people who go to buy cars, and this is partially Tesla's fault.
It's completely Tesla's fault. Let's just blame them.
We can blame them.
It is. People buy cars sight unseen.
I don't understand.
And it's tragic.
Could never do it.
Jill will tell you this. She'll agree with me on this. We review cars. Every car feels very differently. Mm-hmm. Now, there aren't a lot of bad cars. That's the good news. Mm. But the cars are so different and strike people different ways that you owe it to yourself to go to the Chicago Auto Show, or if you're not listening to Chicago, whatever auto show.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And sit in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cars. Take your time because they're very different animals.
I tell people that all the time when they're shopping and they're asking for recommendations. I was like, here's 3 or 4, but go sit in them.
Yes.
Don't just take my opinion because your height, your size, like all your personal preferences, you have to get behind the wheel. And an auto show is such a great place to do it because they're all there.
Well, and I always bring this story out about this time of year. I have a friend. His name is Dan. Hi, Dan, if you're listening. And his wife has some mobility issues. And so he was like, I want to go to the auto show. I want you to come with me. I want you to point me in the direction of vehicles that we should look at. And he brought a clipboard with a spreadsheet of like a list of like 20 vehicles. And I was like, oh, Dan. Not 20. Let me pare down this list for you immediately. And but he brought his wife because he wanted his wife to see if she could get in to the vehicle. And he was like, I don't even want to go test drive the vehicle if she can't put her butt in that seat. And so we probably sat in 10 SUVs and they narrowed it down to like 3 of them and ended up buying a Hyundai Tucson based on essentially their initial butt in seat at the Chicago Auto Show.
I don't want to get off topic, but door opening is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it varies by vehicle. And you'll find that German luxury vehicles, the doors don't open very wide.
No.
And that like Japanese front wheel drive, you know, car sedans and crossovers, huge openings.
Right.
And access is everything for some people. And I have a very hard time getting into like a 3 Series, a BMW 3 Series, something like that. Strangely, the electric vehicles from German companies, very big doors.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is.
But, you know, you go to an auto show and you get to see all of those things without, like, the hard sell of a dealer, like, what can we do to get you in this car today?
And you guys have some metrics, like, on how long people spend at the show.
Yeah, generally last year people were spending 3.5 to 4 hours at the auto show, walking around and consuming the entire show. And, you know, that's the average. Some people spend all day there. And and with the introduction of test rides and test drives at shows, you know, people will wait in line to go for a 2 or 3 minute ride in the Jeep track because they can experience what a Jeep can do on the show floor, where you can't do that on the streets around here, but you can see all the articulation and see the things that a lot of us don't, most
45 degree angle
can't
get
to do, and you can do that at a show.
So for people who have never been to the auto show before, are there folks on the floor who can answer questions about the vehicles, and can you get into most of the vehicles?
Yes. Generally, yes. There are always a few vehicles that may be locked because they're pre-production prototypes or a concept car, and that's just the nature of it may be one of one vehicle, and we're thankful to have the vehicle there, and yes, it may be locked, and that may upset a few people, but it's because it's a prototype, and people abuse cars when they're on the public floor. But generally, most of the vehicles on the show floor are open and available, and all the vehicles, all the brands have product specialists there to answer questions and educate people about them on the show floor, on the rings. If they're a new vehicle debut, they're giving you a little bit more insight on those vehicles as well.
You had shared with me a misconception before the show. You and I were talking by email that I guess you guys aren't using the North Hall this year.
Correct.
So one of the halls, which is the other side of the big pedestrian walkway, but the South Hall is big enough
massive
to fit like 13 Walmarts.
It's the biggest exhibit hall in North America.
Okay. I thought it was. Okay.
It actually is. It's 850,000 square feet.
Dang.
It's a massive hall. And so this will be our third year that we are solely in that South Hall. What people don't realize is to open two halls takes twice as much labor. There's a lot of cost in opening two halls. When the Chicago Auto Show operated in both the North and South Halls, we did not occupy the full hall on either side. So we were in a portion of the North Hall and a portion of the South Hall. So there was like an air wall that was up that to the average person, you would never know was up. So we used, call it 600,000 square feet in the South Hall. So what we've done is consolidate efforts and move the show to all being in the South Hall. And we occupy every square foot of that 850,000 square feet. So it is not half the show, for everyone that says, oh, it's only half, it's half the show, it's one side. It's not half the show. It might be down a little bit in square foot, but it's certainly not half a show.
Are you guys planning a deep freeze or a blizzard this year?
Sure hope not. We've managed to avoid them in the recent years. It's been a pretty good. We had a little bit of a snowstorm last year midweek, but nothing too crazy.
There was like a solid decade of unbelievably dreadful weather, and you were just so glad once you got inside.
Well, and you know, that's the beauty of the show in February is that it's always nice inside. Once you get there, you want a break from the outdoors. If you can get down to McCormick Place, whether it's public transportation or you brave the roads, it's always 72 degrees and sunny inside.
And then the parking is semi-sheltered, and you can take the bridge, so it's not rough.
No, it's not too bad once you get down there.
Yeah. Now, and this leads me to talk about my favorite thing about the show. And it's Tom's least favorite thing about the show.
Oh, this is about running.
There's an indoor race. Yeah. Like I'm a runner. I'm currently training.
Get me when you're done.
Yeah, I'm currently training for a half marathon outside in the cold. And it sucks. So for anybody who wants to run in the winter and you don't want to run on a treadmill, this is amazing. So Miles Per Hour, tell us about it.
Miles Per Hour is back. It's the opening Sunday of the show.
And Jim, you're a runner too, right?
Yes, I have run. I wasn't able to run last year because I was not feeling well. But
I dislike both of you. Go ahead.
It is, you know, we introduced it. I think this is our fifth year doing it. I get off because we introduced it before the pandemic.
We did and then, 2020 and then I think skipped 2021.
Yeah, we skipped a year. We introduced it in 2019, I think. Or
I
no,
think
you're
was,
right. You're 2020.
Literally right
it was
before the pandemic.
We
yeah.
missed 21 and then we've been back ever since.
Yeah.
So it's an hour run called Miles Per Hour. And it's basically, it's not a race, it's a run. It's how many miles can you run in that hour? And so we've got about a 2.5 mile course running through the show floor, across the bridge, over into the East Hall. Great views of the lake and the skyline in the morning. It's such a cool sight and a way to experience the auto show. And you can see how many miles you can run in that hour. Everyone gets a medal at the end, and we announce winners. It's a fun way to get out there and burn some exercise before the Super Bowl.
Right? Before Super Bowl.
I mean, I hate running, but that's really cool.
It is. And you can even come and walk it. You don't have to run.
Well, hobble it.
Well, that's fine. You can come do that.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
So what day is that?
That is the opening Sunday of the show. So February 8th, I believe, is the date. The
official date. Say that's Super Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Where the Bears should be.
We hope so.
Hopefully. Well, you know, and I have to say, I have to give a shout out to Dave Sloan, who is, you know, former
who
president.
Who has sat in that chair.
Yeah, who has sat in that chair, former president of the CATA, the Chicago Auto Show. And he, like, the idea for this race came essentially from him because he told me once, he was
you've been taking credit for it.
Well, it was me putting the pieces together because he told me, he was like, I run the floor every morning before the show opens. And I was just like, There's an idea there. There could be a race. If you're running the floor, we could do that. And so I made a connection between Dave Sloan and the Chicago Area Runners Association, and antics ensued, and here we are.
There you go. It's a cool thing. So tell us what to look forward to this year.
So the show continues to evolve. We continue to look at new ways to bring people into the show. Last year, we introduced two new areas on the show floor. We introduced our Family Zone, and we introduced Overlanding Chicago, which both were very well received. Family Zone was a great spot for people to come with their kids. We had our own kids' Power Wheels track, which was really fun to see kids get to have that track experience and just watch other kids ride Power Wheels around, and what kid doesn't like to hop into Power Wheels and ride around. And then we had the Overlanding Chicago space, which brought a little bit of that outdoor adventure into Chicago in the Midwest. There's not a lot of events like that in our area, so... Mm. We partnered with Illinois Overlanders. We had a bunch of exhibitors and vendors to showcase that lifestyle with the rooftop tents and campers. And if you wanted to learn more about getting involved in that, that was the space to be. That is going to continue to grow this year. We're expanding that footprint. More manufacturers are getting involved. Last year, Toyota was involved in that. This year, it looks like Jeep will be involved. Honda will be involved.
Cool.
We've got more vendors with the built-out vans and all those kind of fun things to see that you kind of dream of, especially if you want to be a part of that world. And then new this year, we're kind of spinning off of that, and we're introducing a new space called Chi-Town Alley. Chi-Town Alley is going to be everything car culture. So once you buy your new car, what do you do with it next, especially if you're a car enthusiast?
Yeah,
so
yeah, you got to check it out.
Bringing a little bit of SEMA into the show with that kind of world. We're partnering with several local clubs We've got a club that will focus on exotic cars, one that'll focus on the JDM import vehicles, a classic muscle car club, a lowrider club. We've got a shop that's going to actually wrap a Nissan Skyline on the show floor. So it's been a real fun to kind of put this together. Being a car guy myself, we just ran a contest for consumers to enter to get their own vehicle on the show floor. So we're going to have a Chi-Town Alley showcase. So for the first time ever, consumers could submit photos of their car to get it on the show floor in this area. So we selected six finalists. And so we'll have six feature vehicles there, and then consumers can vote on site. And we will have our first Chi-Town Alley Vehicle of the Year winner announced at the
show. That's really cool. And for people who don't know JDM, it's a thing right now.
Yes.
It's there is, on Rand Road, very close to the studio, is a JDM dealership that went up. And you have to be, I think cars have to be 25 years old.
Okay, so say what JDM stands for.
Japanese domestic market.
Yes.
And they are Japanese products that can now be imported.
Yes.
That were never available in the U.S. And they tend to be smaller, kind of crazy. We talked about Kai cars.
Yep.
There's also a lot of crazy vans.
Yeah.
But it's a very fun segment of cars. And if you're starting to see these now, it's kind of hip right now.
Yep.
And it'd be great to see those at the show.
It's very hip and very trending right now. And so we're really getting into kind of exploring where this could go. So much so that Jen and myself and our chairman are actually headed to Japan in early January to really engulf ourselves into that culture and learn. We're going to go to the Tokyo Auto Salon out there and learn a little bit more about that. And
we have to go.
So we have to go. So you have to check out Chi-Town Alley this year. And we plan to really build this up in the future. We're investing in our show. We want to take it to the next level. You know, obviously the new cars are very important in all the brands, but there's more to the world and to the car world after you purchase your car.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's very cool. You'd mentioned wraps too. Wrapping's a really big thing. And if you don't know about wraps, you do because you've seen Cybertrucks.
Yeah. So any Cybertruck that isn't like steel, like metal, has been wrapped.
And wrapped is a really weird thing because it's an investment, but not a long-term investment.
Right.
Right. It's like a 2-3 year thing. It doesn't cost that much money.
It protects the shell of your vehicle.
It does.
Some of them are so good, you can't tell.
No.
Really, I've seen a lot of them around here. Cybertruck specifically.
Absolutely.
But one of the first wrapped vehicles, speaking of JDMs, was the first Scion XB.
Yeah.
People were wrapping those, and this might have been like the first kind of enthusiast wrapped vehicles I remember.
Yeah.
All right, what have we missed about the show?
First Look for Charity. We want to definitely mention our First Look for Charity. That will be back Friday before the show opens to the public, so tickets are on sale now for that. This will be our 34th year doing it. We've raised over $65 million
for really
since
good
its
causes.
Inception.
Mm-hmm.
18 local charities benefit.
Do so I have this right? You get to pick what causes?
You can pick the cause. So
that's
if you
cool.
buy tickets, you can choose to have your tickets spread across all 18 charities, or you can choose one or two charities, however you want your tickets to allocate.
Awesome.
And this year at First Look for Charity, we are, of course, you want to do it for the cause, but as an extra bonus, we're giving away two vehicles. So you have the chance to win a 2026 Toyota Land Cruiser or a 2026 Chevy Equinox.
Ooh, so both great cars.
That is like prom for car fans.
It is.
You get to dress up in tuxedos and evening gowns.
This is the only time of year I can get my husband to dress up, you know, to not wear jeans. I missed last year for the first time in like 20 years, because I go every year. I buy my tickets, and I was sick. I missed the media days for the auto show last year. I was supposed to give out an award. I missed that. I was supposed to do tours. I missed all of it. So I think I made the run, and that was it. But yeah, so I say if you like, you know, getting dressed up and looking at cars, this is like the coolest event to go to. In any auto show, I think most auto shows have some kind of a charity preview that's like a black tie something, and I love it.
Yeah, and worth it.
Yeah.
And you get to see the cars with less crowd.
You do, and good food, and good beverages.
A lot of great,
and
great restaurants that participate in that, so it is a fun night.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago Auto Show.
I have one more question.
Okay.
One more question. One more. Are there going to be puppies?
There's always puppies.
Okay.
Yes, puppies will be back with Subaru. Can adopt puppies. It's incredible how much that draws people.
Mm-hmm. I know. Very important question.
They can never go back on that. I feel like they always have to have the puppies.
No, well, I feel like Volvo had puppies one year. I know I have a very funny picture of me in a trunk with like 10 puppies.
So what happens? Like, do the puppies get worn out or stolen during the course of the day?
And they have they have different groups of puppies that come in.
Yes.
So they bring the different. They have, you know, they have a puppy schedule.
They have a puppy schedule. And then
we'll
they can
do
be
a
adopted.
Puppy cam at some point. You
yeah.
Know, and
definitely need the puppy cam.
But yeah, you can't go wrong. You got cars, puppies, test rides,
good
lots
food.
Of good things going on at the
fudge.
Chicago Auto Show.
There's going to be fudge.
I like fudge.
Yeah.
All right. Dates and times?
February 7th through the 16th. Show opens at 10 a.m. every day. Generally closes at 9 every night, except we close earlier on Super Bowl Sunday.
Sounds good. Jim, you decided to stick around for the quiz?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Hi, it's Brendan from Sons of Speed. You've heard me and my colleague Paul on the Car Stuff podcast whenever Jill's out of town. But now you can hear us every week on the We Are Motor Driven podcast, along with Jennifer from Auto Exotica and Harvey from Rides and Drives. We talk about everything from sports cars to trucks to EVs and our favorite, speed. So join us each week by searching We Are Motor Driven wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill, and he is Jim O'Brill of the Chicago Auto Show. And Jim has decided to stick around for the quiz today.
Yes.
But first, you have to get through that.
My social media stuff?
Yeah, that.
Yeah. No, I will make it simple. At Jill Simonello, hashtag car du jour on pretty much all the things. TikTok, Instagram.
All the things.
All the things. TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook. And I'm really working on building out my YouTube channel now. And I post either a short or a long form video every day.
On YouTube?
On YouTube.
All right.
Yeah.
And the donuts are out.
The donuts are out.
German chocolate peppermint, chocolate glazed, and blueberry today.
We got some sprinkles, we got some cake donuts, and we got something with a whole bunch of nuts on it.
And I was running late, so I only have a bottle of Pepsi, not a large Pepsi from Taco Bell.
Mm.
The large Pepsi from Taco Bell being preferable.
I was running early, so I've already eaten my chili.
You were here early.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's quiz time.
Mm-hmm.
You've never participated in the quiz before.
I have not. This is a first.
Wow, this is exciting. And we've had two guests for quizzes in a row.
Yes.
And you got your butt kicked last.
I got my butt very badly kicked.
All right. Today's quiz topic is 25 grand.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you a car, and you have to tell me if there is a base model under 25 grand.
That is not going to be good for me, but I imagine it'll be very good for Jim.
Okay.
All right.
So there we go.
Yeah.
Jim, there are five questions total, plus the bonus question. The bonus question always related to the topic of the day.
Mm.
The bonus question only counts in the event of a tie.
Got it.
All right, are you guys ready?
But it's always fun to listen to.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Jim, you go first. The 2026 Hyundai Kona.
Yes.
Is there a base model under 25K?
Yes.
Jill?
If it's not under 25... I feel like it's going to be just over 25. I'm going to say no.
No. Jill, you're on the board. 26,950 for the base SE, going all the way up to 35,750 for the limited. This is where things are at now. There's a version of the Kona that gets close to 40 grand.
Wow.
So are you including
that
destination
right.
prices
yes.
in this?
Yes, all these prices include destination.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. So, Joe and
what?
Jim, I'll just do JC and
I know we're putting J.
All right. There we go. Jill, you go first. This question, the Buick Envista. Buick's charming little hot selling crossover.
Hmm.
Is there a car under 25K?
I'm going to say no.
No.
There isn't, but it's super close. The base preferred is 25,195.
Closer than I would have guessed.
You both get a point.
I would have thought it would have been a little bit higher to 30.
I thought it would have gone up more simply because there's that Korea problem.
Oh, the Korea problem. Yeah, that's fair.
There's now a 15% tariff on those bad boys, so keeping the price low on these things.
So they're eating the cost. Interesting.
Yes, they are. All right, this question goes back to Jim. The Nissan Kicks.
Yes.
Yeah, the Kicks comes in pretty affordable with destination, $23,925 for the S,
mm-hmm.
all the way up to, it's still pretty cheap, 28, $28,760 for the SR.
Yeah. A few you can get reasonable under 30 these days.
Yeah, there is a package that you probably want if you're already committed to the SR.
Right.
And that adds some money to that. And you want all-wheel drive on that now. So right. You can get it to 34 with stuff.
With stuff. What is the stuff? Do you know what the stuff is?
The big sunroof.
Okay.
And then for some reason, you need the big package to get a heated steering wheel. And I think to get heated seats.
That's a requirement for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want the heated things.
Around here?
Yeah.
Heated steering wheel is like the single sort of thing I really want.
I use the heated steering wheel and the heated seats all year long, even when it's 100 degrees outside. So, I'm just saying.
I did this wrong. It's actually, you've gotten it. No. Is it 2-2?
No. I think I have one more point.
Jill has one more.
Oh, so it is 3-2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You're trying to bilk me out of my points, aren't you?
I am. All right. Fourth question. This goes to you, Jill. The 2026 Toyota Corolla Cross. This is Toyota's Alabama-built small crossover.
Alabama.
Built next to the CX-50 from Mazda.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the joint venture plant. And for that reason, you can get Soul Red, Crystal Soul Red, on your Corolla Cross.
On the Corolla Cross? Color. I thought you could only get it on the Crown. I've seen it on the Crown.
This is Toyota. Mazda is spray painting their cars that color, so they have it in the paint shop there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so you're saying...
Toyota Corolla Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota's smallest crossover. Going to need an answer.
And it less than 25 is what we're going for. I'm going to say no.
No.
No, $26,385 for the L, up to $32,760 for the XLE, not including all-wheel drive. Also, there's a hybrid model available there.
Mm-hmm.
So you both get a point there. Wait, so have you gotten everything right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. That just seems so unlikely.
Hashtag love you. They're giving you the little heart emoji.
Back to Jim. 2026 Chevrolet Trailblazer.
Yes.
Trailblazer.
One up from the Trax.
I'm going to say no.
Yes.
Ah.
By $5.
Wow.
$24,995 for the LS, $31,195 for the Active.
Okay.
All right.
The bonus matters.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Wait, you got that right?
No, you got it right.
Also, we're tied. Yeah. All right. Yeah, interesting thing about the Trailblazer is that you have to go from the Trax to the Trailblazer if you want all-wheel drive.
Yes.
And if you want to go all-wheel drive because you get the slightly bigger engine.
Yeah.
Although you're moving from a 1.2-liter three-cylinder to a 1.3-liter three-cylinder.
I thought you were going to say a 1.23. No.
So from the smallest engine you can get in the U.S. to the second smallest.
Right.
All right. Bonus question goes to you first, Jill.
Okay.
Wendy's in Japan. All right. Do you want to guess how many Wendy's there are on the whole planet?
No.
7,000.
Okay.
In the U.S.?
No idea.
6,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In Japan?
5.
Close, 150.
Yeah. 5 is so close to 150.
All right. As of this morning, 3 of the things on this list were available at Wendy's in Japan.
Okay.
One of them is fake.
Okay.
I need you to identify the fake. This is a tie. This is for the game.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Junior Cheese Bacon Egg Burger, the Mushroom Melt Burger Double, the Crispy Salmon Dill Burger, or the Rich Mushroom Melt Baconator. One of those is fake.
I kind of feel like Japan would have a lot of fish, so the salmon thing
might be
real.
Surrounded by fish.
They're surrounded by big water.
Big water? Okay.
You get the reference. There's a lot of salmon, I would think, in that area, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of fish. They do a lot of sushi. So what were the other three that are not the salmon one?
The Junior Cheese Bacon Egg Burger, the Mushroom Melt Burger Double, or the Rich Mushroom Melt Baconator?
I'm going to go with the first bacon one as the fake.
The Junior Cheese Bacon Egg Burger?
No. That one is real. What was the other bacon? So not the first one, but the second one.
The Mushroom Melt Burger Double?
Yes.
Okay, you're saying that's fake?
Yes.
There's good alliteration there, Mushroom Melt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got Mushroom Melt Burger Double. Your pick, sir?
Read them one more. Read the other two after that.
The crispy salmon. Salmon. The crispy salmon dill burger or the rich mushroom melt baconator.
I'll go with the last one to be different. Because I was thinking the
same. Yeah, no, neither one of you guys got it. Oh. It's the crispy salmon dill burger. No one is a winner.
No one wins.
But the guest gets a half point. There you go, sir. That's for you. All right, good
I
quiz.
Just think that there should be a salmon burger on something in Japan.
What's weird is that Wendy's Wendy's is actually not alone anymore. They merged with some chain called First Kitchen.
Okay.
So they're Wendy's First Kitchen, but there is a distinct Wendy's menu. Even though these
in Japan only?
Just,
got it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to have to look for these when I'm in Japan.
Yeah, clearly. We expect pictures.
Right?
We expect pictures.
You have to follow along. There'll definitely be pictures.
Yes.
So I have two questions for you. Yeah. Actually, a question and then a thing we need to talk about.
Sure.
But first, the San Francisco Auto Show, has that gone away?
Yeah, they did not happen in 2024.
Okay.
So I don't think they're happening this year either.
No, they blew past the dates they were supposed to have this year.
Yeah, because they were put on by the Northern California Auto Dealers Association. As many auto shows are, they're put on by their local Auto Dealers Association, mm-hmm. as we are here in Chicago, put on by the Chicago Automobile Trade Association. What's been unfortunate is that as auto manufacturers are evaluating shows, they're getting tight on their budgets and their spending. And, you know, we invite all automakers to be a part of our show. There are several that since the pandemic have chosen mm-hmm. not to put their money into auto shows, despite our efforts. It's not for lack of effort on our end. For anyone listening, you know, when you don't see a brand there, it's not because we haven't tried to get them there. So do let them know. We always tell people, reach out, let them know on Facebook, send them a message, tell them you want to see them at the auto show. It's not because we're not reaching out or that we don't want them there. We haven't even raised rates for auto manufacturers to be there. We're doing what we can to get them there. But some of these smaller shows, like San Francisco is not necessarily a smaller city, but in the scheme of auto show world, the LA Auto Show is much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when a manufacturer is looking at auto shows, they're looking at your big three auto shows are LA, Chicago, New York. Everything else from there gets smaller. Mm-hmm. Then you've got some sub-regions, and then it gets smaller from there. And so when they start paring it down, they start to eliminate some of those smaller shows from generally just budgetary as they're looking at things, which is unfortunate. And when some of these shows, it's unfortunate when they have to make those decisions, but if they don't have enough manufacturers committed, there's a point as to...
You can't pay for the space.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not cheap to your point, Jill, to put on a show. Like there's an investment, and you need to have a certain amount of investment from the manufacturers.
And then some of the EV startups too are slow to come to auto shows, right? And like his Slate, do you guys have any involvement with Slate?
Nothing from Slate yet.
How about Rivian, Tesla, and Lucid?
So we had Tesla was at our show last year for the first time. They will be back again this year.
Wonderful.
Lucid is looking like they'll be at Chicago again.
They've got new products.
They were there last year as well. So right now, not official, but it's seeming like they will be there. And same with Rivian.
Cool.
All three of those brands were at the show last year, mm-hmm. Including VinFast, which I heard you talk about earlier. Not sure if they'll make it, but they were at our show last year. We also had Polestar at our show last year. So we are starting to see, it's interesting, kind of the tide shift, whereas Tesla used to say no to all auto shows. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden that they've got a ton of competition, mm-hmm. they're coming into shows. So they will be... They will be at Chicago in February. We're seeing some brands start to turn and come back to shows, which is good.
Good to hear about Polestar. It's an exciting brand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they just got more exciting. I just learned something totally off topic.
Okay.
The Polestar Model 3 shares its architecture with Volvo products.
Okay.
The Tesla Model 4, uh-huh. which I get Monday.
Tesla Model 4?
I'm sorry. Polestar
Model 4. Wait, they have a Model 4?
Is actually Chinese. It's actually based on a Zeekr product.
Oh,
so
okay.
Is the one with no back window?
Yes.
Yes,
right.
So that's part of the reason, I guess. It's kind of it's more of a Chinese design. So now I'm really excited to drive this thing.
It is, I think, one of the coolest cars I've driven this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
really
to it.
Thoroughly
I'm actually
going
to, I have that for Christmas, so I'm going to be driving it to Milwaukee. Mm. It's got a little bit less range than the Polestar 3, so I will need to charge someplace.
Right.
So there you go. You, sir, are also the co-host of a podcast. Yes. Do tell.
Our radio show.
Drive Chicago. Yes.
That's right, radio show.
Airs every week on WLS AM 890. We've going on 8.5 years now.
Wow. Mm.
So alongside Mark Bielik, who I know both of you know well, and Ramblin' Ray Stevens has been, we've had a few third people, the third person's rotated a little bit, but Ray's been with us for about 3 years now. Mm. But yeah, the show airs every Saturday morning on WLS at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and then it lives on as a podcast as well. We, similar to you guys, we talk all things automotive news. Both of you have been guests on our show. Every week, we try to bring in some guests, talk about the latest in the industry, and all fun things automotive.
So people, once you're done listening to our podcast,
there's room for two.
Check out Drive Chicago.
Exactly. And is it on like all of the podcast services, or is there some place that people should go to find it?
You can find it at, you can go to the WLSAM.com to download it. And I believe it's, you can download it everywhere else as well.
And you can stream it in the morning too, if you want to.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. The app is an easy way to find it.
So cool. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
If people want to find out more about the Chicago Auto Show, they should go to?
You can go to chicagoautoshow.com. You can follow us on all the social channels. We are active and live and posting updates regularly.
Well, looking forward to the show.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to miles per hour.
All right. Big thanks to Jim O'Brill, Director of Marketing for the Chicago Auto Show. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at Talk Zone. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.